the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went out to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good afternoon. Great to be here today. Thanks so much for having me to speak on God's word. Great to be here. Warm welcome to all of you and a very happy new year. Especially warm welcome if it's your first time or if you're back here after a break. Unfortunately, as a visitor, I don't know who you are. I've been very warm welcome to this afternoon. I'm sure you will too. Also very warm welcome to all of you. Now, in getting ready for today, I've heard that you've been looking through Luke's Gospel, chapters 1 and 2, and I've been reading through as well these chapters. Try and get a taste of what we've all been seeing together at Grace Church Windsor. There's been so much good stuff that's been nourishing and feeding me. Jesus, he's the Saviour, Christ the Lord, the hope of the nations. We've been seeing in these chapters 1 and 2. And do keep this passage under your eyes, and the Bibles will be going through it as we go through. I imagine we've been enjoying this so much as a church. And on Sunday, I imagine it's been really easy to keep these things in mind, to keep them in our heads. But now, at this time of year, on the first Sunday of the year, what do we think? It's almost time to get our heads in gear, to get ready for what's coming, to maybe school starting, work is on the way, work's picking up after a break, maybe Easter holidays, sort of distant outline in the distance coming somewhere. I imagine for a lot of us, there's a lot filling our heads, there's a lot filling our hearts as we come into the new year, anticipating what is it going to be like? And in all of that, my question is this: how much do we keep Jesus in mind? When I think about me, I reflect on my last year, how it went, and through the highs and the lows, the best parts and the worst parts, I can say that the times when I didn't remember who Jesus was, when other things crowded into my head, those were some of the worst times, and I made bad decisions and got in a mess. How much do we remember who Jesus is? I imagine for many of us here who love the Lord, often we do love the Lord. But the answer might be that it's not as much as we'd like to. We've heard so much about Jesus, but maybe this week stress comes. Maybe the paycheck arrives. Something worrying happens. And this moment of stress comes into our life. And the stuff we've been treasuring and loving so much on Sundays just fall out of my head so quickly. I might well keep going, trying to make the decision without remembering who Jesus is. Maybe remembering partly what he's like. Remembering part of the bits that we've seen in Luke chapters 1 and 2. But only parts of it. And it ends in a mess. Some of us here might just be looking into Christian things and maybe not fully decided whether to trust in Jesus or not. We've seen the baby in a manger. We've heard that Christ is the Saviour, but how much do we really keep this in mind? For us today, Luke wants to show us that keeping these things in mind will bring real clarity, a real sharpness about what we believe in and what we're going to do with the year 2025. Imagine it's a similar situation for people who lived 2,000 years ago. Then this book is actually written to a guy called, chapter 1, beginning, Theophilus, great name. fantastic thing to offer us. This guy is reading this book, and it's written to him to give him certainty about the things that he believes in. Theophilus, well, he's like many of us, I imagine. He loves the Lord. He knows the Lord, but the world is changing. There's been so much going on. Empires rising, empires falling. And Luke wrote this gospel to him so he can keep these things in mind. He can be certain, clear, about what he believes, what he's going to do with it. And so there's one big idea in this passage that we're going to give us on today to clarify it. I want to show us from these words. It's this. Here we see in these words, Jesus' identity, who he is. That means he must be on the mission. My prayer is that for us, these words wouldn't just wash over us. Yeah, sure, I know this, Johnny, whatever. But that these words would sink into our hearts, sink into our minds, into the coming year. So we wouldn't be left in a mess. Let's start the passage. Let's get the passage under our eyes again from chapter 2 and verse 40, following on from what we saw last week. It says, "And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival, according to the custom." Now, this is the only episode we have in the Gospels of Jesus as a boy, just born, but not yet fully man, sort of in between. And what's maybe striking here is that, well, there isn't much going on. No hosts of angels, no dreams and visions. If this were a film, the special effects budget would be basically nothing. And thankfully, they've probably blown it in the last two chapters. I think that's what Luke is showing us. Luke is showing us here that in many ways, Jesus was a normal boy. Like in verse 51, how it ends this passage as well. It's passages top and tail in a similar way. Then he, Jesus, went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man. It's quite normal, really. Jesus is a human son. So if we could go back in time, a TARDIS with a microphone, and put it in someone's face and say, whose son is Jesus? That would be an easy answer. Mary's son, of course. Jesus was just a normal boy. A boy who obeyed. Now, I'm a children's worker. I was actually in Sunday school with some kids this morning at my church in Greenwich. And I know James Dancer, I know his two daughters. And I know that we all probably wish that obeying children was more normal. Did I say that Jesus obeyed? He was obedient to his parents. I mean, we have children that didn't obey what I was saying today. It's quite extraordinary. What I'm trying to say is, Jesus isn't performing any miracles here. He's just a boy listening to his parents. This is what Luke chooses to tell us about Jesus' childhood. And Jesus understood who he was. He was a human son. And a son who grew, verse 52, it says this, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, in favour with God and man. Jesus really once was a growing child. Imagine, we all remember what that was like. Jesus really was a boy who grew. Like most of us, some of us know what that was like. Jesus ate food, and his shoulders broadened, he stood up straight. This might be quite a strange thing to think. Imagine we don't think about this very often. It doesn't come up very often in the Bible, but God the Son, who made the universe, took on flesh and became Jesus, the boy. Jesus, the human son, who learned things. And there's an excellent song. Part of the joys of being a kids and youth worker is that you get to spend a lot of your spare time listening to kids' songs. Kids' music is just fantastic, at least for me, I love it. There's a song called Totally God, Totally Man by Sovereign Grace Kids. I would highly recommend on the way home in the car. I have so much respect for the guys who write it. And the verse says this. Jesus, his word upholds the galaxies, but he babbled like a baby in his mother's arms. Jesus understands the universe, but he had to go to school to learn how to write his name. It doesn't say he went to school after the year, but it's clear that Jesus is growing and Jesus is learning. God the Son, who made the universe. I imagine we don't think about that very much. But Luke wants to tell us this.
for us to keep in mind this year, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, in favour with God and with man. And this actually reminds us of something we've already seen before in Luke, actually at the end of chapter 1, and verse 18. It says, and the child grew and became strong in spirit. This is John the Baptist. He's drawing a parallel between Jesus and John the Baptist, basically to show us that Jesus, in many ways, was a normal boy, a normal human son who grew. It's also, there's a few references here, we'll come back to this later, but he's a lot like Samuel. Samuel the boy in the temple who grew and learnt. We'll see that a bit later, but for now, let's just dwell on this. That Jesus knew who he was. He was a human son. And so we can go into 2025 with this in mind, to be clear about who he is, and respond rightly to him. Now, we're not going to stop there. There is definitely so much more to say. I think actually, so much so, that stopping here seems to be the problem in this passage, the main thing that goes wrong in this passage. Jesus understood his identity, yes, a human son, and definitely divine son. Read on from verse 43 with me. This is what Luke has to say to us. And after the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. How many parents here, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, know what this must be like. How many of us, I'm not going to look at anyone in particular, may have been to Legoland or around Windsor Castle in the crowds, turn around for 5 seconds, the child's gone. The baby's walked off, and the toddler's followed off into the crowds. They're gone. And one parent blames the other. I thought they were with you, I thought you were watching, I thought you had him. Horror and terror. Perhaps until there's an embarrassing announcement in the aisles of Tesco. Can the parents of Timmy please come to customer services and pick up the child? In fact, for me, it was like this. I think everyone has a story like this. For me, it was at church, and this happened not once, but twice. Until I have nothing against my parents for this. They left me at church. They left church without me and got in the car. At least one point they started driving away and probably realised, look at the back seat, oh, there's no Johnny. Just got to church and came back. It's extraordinary, but I love them very much. Completely forgive me. I mean, it's probably my fault because when the parents are talking, the kids go off and play, I'll sit around waiting, mum's having a chat with someone else to eat. But I can tell you, that neither time when they came back to church searching for me, did they find me in church, in the middle of the room, surrounded by the congregation, and I was schooling the pastors on theology. That was not what happened. Blowing my mind with my insights into the incarnation. Nor when they asked me why I was here and not in the car with them, did I say, well, of course I'll be here. You know, you need to keep this in mind. I'm God's son. I mean, that'd just be like so outrageous something. He said, isn't it? Unbelievable. And yet when the boy Jesus replies, he says exactly that. No sarcasm, no tongue in cheek. After 3 days, back in verse 46, what a search, 3 days for your charge. They found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Why were you searching for me? He asked. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? They did not understand what he was saying to them. Whose son was Jesus? We could ask with a microphone. Yes, of course.
Excuse me.
Yes, of course, Mary's. But in a very real way, a very true way, he was the divine son, God's son. So sure, yeah, okay, Jesus was similar to John the Baptist and Samuel in some ways, but absolutely not in this way. I mean, no Jew could ever speak these words. In the Old Testament, Israel as a whole, as a nation, was called God's son. God referred to King David as his son, but to my knowledge at least, no, David never said, I am God's son. I'm doing my father's business, referring to God the Father. And these extraordinary words come out of the mouth of a 12-year-old at the age when I was still swapping Pokemon cards, picking my nose. Jesus knew exactly who he was. He knew he was God's son. His insight, his wisdom, actually reminds us of what Isaiah said in the Old Testament. And we've been looking a little bit like Isaiah, I imagine, through Luke's Gospel. He's been pointing us back to Isaiah over the weeks. This week is no different. To get across what Jesus is like. This time it's Isaiah 11, which says this, predicting the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of might. The Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. This is who Jesus is. Even as a boy, a human son, the divine son, the son of God. We would do so well to keep this in mind this year, even when life is busy, because this actually seems to be the twist, the crux of this passage. Now thinking back to these two episodes, one episode, when I got lost, I was left at church, and the other when Jesus, he was left in the temple. There's one obvious massive difference between the two. I'm not God's son. That is so clear. But also, there is a big difference between the two sets of parents. I mean, Mary and Joseph, they left Jesus not because they were tired, like I imagine most parents are, nor did they leave Jesus behind because they thought that the other parent was looking after Jesus and I thought you were. Maybe like my parents were. No, Mary and Joseph left Jesus behind. They didn't understand who he was. They didn't keep in mind who Jesus was. And so they lost him. They got in a right mess. You can hear the stress and the worry from Mary in verse 48. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you, yeah, no doubt, 3 days. Why have we done this, Jesus? We've been worried sick." Jesus replies, and he doesn't say, fair enough, it's been a long weekend, I'm sure you're tired. Sorry parents, my bad, my fault for wandering off. No, Jesus didn't sin. He fully honoured his parents. Instead, Jesus says, "Why? Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house? Didn't you know? Of course I'd be here. In my father's city, Jerusalem, at the temple, my father's headquarters, where one day I'll rule the nations. Don't you know who I am?" Jesus understands. Mary and Joseph don't understand, and they get it wrong. Which is a surprise, I think this is where this passage bites us, because Mary's seen everything. She's seen and heard it all. Mary, she's been a model believer so far in Luke, and trusting, believing the promises. And yet Mary doesn't have in mind who Jesus is, and she's left anxiously searching. Mary has seen the angels, heard the shepherds, just like us. We've heard their words and seen the promises. And yet you and I, we can lose sight of who Jesus is. Life gets busy, and 2025 will soon be in full swing, meetings filling up the calendar, who knows what's going on. It's so easy just to forget who Jesus is. We're left in a mess. Such confusion. What we've been seeing in Luke these months, from Luke chapters 1 and 2, we need to keep these things in mind. Remind ourselves of them, understand Jesus rightly every day, and keep it there. Jesus did understand. Here we see, even as a boy, a little glimpse, Jesus, he knows he's the human son, he knows he's the divine son. And there is more to unwrap in later chapters as you imagine we'll go back to Luke's gospel. But even here, the small sort of miniature version, we see not just who he is, but what he's come for. This is his mission. This is the next part I'd like us to see. Jesus' identity means that he must be on a mission. A 12-year-old boy even knew his mission. God wants us to know The two. Now, to show you this, I want us to remember the similarity we saw with Samuel earlier in the Old Testament. Samuel was a boy, Jesus was a boy, fantastic. It turns out that actually there are loads of links between Jesus and Samuel in this episode here. Here they all are, and I put them on the screen for a while, that font's a bit small, but if you just like read it, I think it'll be back. It's probably okay. Great, so what? Why am I showing you this? Well, okay, Jesus' parents go to Jerusalem every year, his parents go to Samuel's parents went to Shiloh every year, where the temple was. Jesus is called the boy Jesus, Samuel is called the boy Samuel. Jesus spends time in the temple, Samuel spends time in the temple. Jesus grows in stature and favour with God and man, and Samuel grows in stature and favour with God and man. Great, so what, Johnny? Who cares? Why is this here on your screen? Well, in the Bible, in Scripture, God tells us what Jesus is like, yes, with an adjective describing words. He says, Christ, Lord, mighty Saviour. But here Luke is telling us what Jesus is like by saying he's sort of like this other person in the Bible that you've already come across. It turns out Jesus isn't just a bit like Samuel. He's a lot like Samuel. We might remember, I saw on your website a little search, that you did Samuel in 2017. It might be way back in the memory box, in the memory bank somewhere. But you saw that the boy Samuel would grow to be a prophet, speaking God's words. And actually what he'd be doing is he'd be bringing down the high and the arrogant leaders, and he'd be lifting up the humble, those who trust in his words. And Samuel is someone who'd flip the world upside down, bring in a new world order, and that is exactly what Jesus has come to do. And actually, Luke has been doing this all the way through these opening chapters of Luke. And we remember how 1 Samuel starts, and we might need to scratch our heads or go back. Hannah doesn't have a child, Hannah is miraculously granted a child, and Hannah sings a song about how a child will grow and how the kingdom will be flipped upside down, that the low will be lifted high, the high will be brought low. Actually, Hannah's story is a lot like Mary's story. Given a child, a miraculous baby, sings a song, Magnificat, about how the lowly are lifted up, the arrogant brought low. The boy Jesus gives us a glimpse of his mission, while the other 12-year-olds are swapping football cards, in Jerusalem. Jesus is sat there in the temple court among teachers, the religious leaders, and they are absolutely amazed. This is a small window into what Jesus will go on to do in his gospel, interacting with the teachers, preaching God's word to them, challenging them. How good would it be for this year, for us to realise that Jesus speaks God's words? It's right to listen to them. Is his mission. When 2025 is so full of business and life crowding, there's so much in our minds and our hearts, and to not understand this would be a tragedy. He's not just a boy who came to become a man to tell some nice stories, he came to speak God's words. Jesus had a prophetic mission, just like Samuel. This bit is just like Samuel, but there's a further mission that Jesus even reveals here, even in miniature, just in this passage. So much here. This is truly unique to Jesus. His mission is unique. A human son, he's a divine son, he must be on a unique mission. His father's mission. Let me show you from verse 48. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother and father said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" Jesus had to be there. He must be there. It was necessary for him to be there. And actually, the NIV has a footnote at the bottom of the page. And it could mean house. And it also means, it could mean about my father's business. I'm doing my father's stuff. And Jesus is saying, this is Jesus' unique mission. His father's mission. And these necessary things, and this phrase comes up again and again and again through this gospel, sort of a little picture of what will sort of blood and flourish throughout the rest of the gospel. All of these things that Jesus had to do is necessary. He must do these things. Here they are. There's a lot of them. Jesus had to come, 4:43. Jesus had to preach, 9:22. Jesus had to suffer, 13:13. And Jesus had to come full circle at the end of his life, back to Jerusalem, back to the temple. Jesus had to die to save his people. This is his father's mission, to save his people. And here, even in this passage, even with a 12-year-old boy Jesus, we get a glimpse of all that Jesus will go on to do in the rest of Luke's gospel. Jesus had to do his father's business. Jesus had to save his people. This is God's son on a unique mission to save his people. Now this passage hits home at least for me, because many of us are actually a bit like Mary, as I've said. A bit like Mary, and a bit like the disciples we see later on in Luke's gospel. We know what Jesus is like. We've seen him. And he's partly been always like. And yet, again and again, when Jesus says, it is necessary, I must, throughout the whole of the rest of Luke's gospel, how many times, often, through the gospel, is he met with complete misunderstanding? Jesus, what are you talking about? You don't have to go and die, do you? It's nonsense. Misunderstanding. Even at the end of Luke, chapter 24, Jesus has just died, risen from the dead, just like he said he had to. Two men walking on the road, you might remember this episode, to Emmaus. Jesus, sort of disguised, incognito, comes up to them and says hello, and they don't understand. They haven't kept in mind what Jesus said. They're stressed, anxious, troubled. They don't know what's just happened. This is what Jesus has to say about these people. He says to them, this is Luke 24, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? It seems to be all the way through Luke's gospel. I think it's what this passage is showing us. Forgetting who Jesus is, not storing these things in our minds and our hearts, gets us lost. That is a bad place to be. Now for Theophilus, my favourite person who received Luke's gospel originally, this would have given real clarity. Real clarity already at the beginning of the gospel, who Jesus was, what he's come to do. It's clear even when Jesus was a boy, this isn't some sort of late invention, some tacked on centuries later, someone trying to rebrand Jesus as a saviour, who was never supposed to be. From the beginning, he was there to do his father's business, to save his people. And all of what we've seen through the preaching, through Luke chapter 1, chapter 2, from Tim, from James, all you've seen in Luke over Advent and through Christmas, these are things to keep in mind, to be certain who Jesus is, even when for many of us it might be a tough year. Now for us, it may well be that we haven't let what we've seen in Luke sink into our hearts. There is a verse, for once in Royal David City, might sound actually we don't sing at church, it goes like this. Christian children all must be mild, obedient, good as he. Maybe that's why we don't sing it. The idea is that all that Jesus is, or the huge part of what Jesus is just a model to show us what being kind is like. But actually Jesus already in this gospel shows us to be so much more. He's on a unique mission, prophetic mission, to save his people. Actually it's Mary at the end of this episode that shows us how to react. In verse 51. Then he, Jesus, went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother, Mary, treasured all these things in her heart. This is the right response. All the way through Luke, chapters 1 through chapters 2, through the rest of it, is to keep these things in mind. When I think of myself and going about the rest of my year, coming up with New Year's resolutions, I'll try not to break this time. I pray that the Lord would help me to store these things in my heart, to keep these things in mind, these amazing, wonderful things. It's so easy, so good to keep in mind on a Sunday. I'll have them in mind for the rest of the week, through the rest of the year, no matter what comes in. When the stress hits, and when the paycheck comes, whatever this year brings, I'll make my decisions in the light of what Jesus has done. I store these things in my heart. I pray that we'd all do that for the rest of the year. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this short, seemingly normal account of your son as a boy, thank you for all that it shows us. We thank you that it shows us that he already knew who he was. He already knew what he was going to do. Thanks so much that he came to save his people. We thank so much for all that we've seen through chapters 1 and 2 of Luke, the Saviour, Christ the Lord. We pray these words will just wash over us. Even when life is busy, when life is tough, and there's so much going on, we pray that we're to be ruled and directed and steered every second of what we've seen. May we be like Mary and treasure these things in our hearts and follow you wholeheartedly. For your glory, Lord.